So we are starting a brand new series this morning called A Month of Many Voices. And the only thing that's consistent about this series is the inconsistency. We are, over the month of February, we are not going to have the same speaker 2 weeks in a row. As many of you know, Michelle and I are waiting for child number 3 to show up, and based on doctors and everything, that could be any day now. So as a contingency, so that we didn't leave you guys hanging, I delegated off the whole rest of the month. And so I might be here for some of these messages, I might not be. We'll just see how everything goes over the next month or so. So we're really excited. Next week, Pastor Louis is coming back for his first message here since we traded roles and he took off. So that's exciting. The 21st, we got Brad Weber coming from KLBC. So that's good. Brad also informed me that I can make our very own Clay Weens preach whenever I want. So I'm going to take him up on that. Surprise! And then the close out February, Darren is going to be coming up. And Darren has voiced that he wants to preach more, so I'm more than happy to let him do that. We like when Darren shares what's going on. And when I say that the only thing that's consistent is the inconsistency, is I did not give these guys any direction. I didn't give them any, like, this is what we were talking about. This is the direction. I just said, whatever God's laid on your heart. So, and these are three guys that I trust. I know that they are going to bring us a powerful and awesome word from God. And so I'm excited for you guys. I'm excited for me to watch and to see what they say and how they challenge us. It's going to be a great month. But to kick us all off for a month of many voices, well, you know what? To kick off today, I'm going to ask this question. It's Super Bowl Sunday. Who's going to win the big game today? Who's going to win? Anybody? I know some of you don't care. But everyone watching online, throw it in the comment section. Who do you got? You got the Kansas City Chiefs or the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? For everyone in-house, we're going to have a little fun. If you go to the bulletin, you can actually answer the question, who's going to win? And it's going to pop up on the screen. So I want to see some votes. We got nothing so far. That's okay. So we might come back to this, but there is the option in the bulletin online to pick. Who do you think is going to win, the Kansas City Chiefs or the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? So as a little lead up, we've got on one hand Kansas City, who's got the young upstart quarterback, the superstar who just doesn't seem to know how to lose a game, Patrick Mahomes. On the other side, we have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who, for anyone who cares, for the first time in the Super Bowl era, the city that is hosting the Super Bowl actually has their team playing in the Super Bowl. That has never happened. It's actually unbelievable. So for the first time ever, there's a team in the Super Bowl actually playing at home. So, and then you throw in the fact that they've got the greatest quarterback of all time, Tom Brady, at the helm. I'm really glad I'm not a gambling man, because I have no idea how this is going to go. It's going to be a great game. So I'm, like I said earlier, I'm watching it. If you're going to watch with me, that'd be great. I can promise there may be trash talking. Anyways, so anyone, if you're interested, let me know. We'll watch the game. But yeah, Kansas City Chiefs versus the Buccaneers. And it's not showing us any results. That's too bad. Anyways, I look forward to going back and seeing whoever. Oh, there we go. Everyone thinks the Bucs. Oh, we got one Kansas City. Wow. That's interesting. Everyone's betting on Brady. Oh, it's getting better. Wow. Okay. This is fun. I need to do this more often. So, got 4 for the Bucs, 1 for the Chiefs. So, come on out. It's going to be fun. One of the interesting things that happens right around the Super Bowl is that everyone becomes an expert on how the Super Bowl is going to go, right? And one of the most fascinating things about this Super Bowl is that all these experts can't agree. Everyone has got their own opinion on how today's game is going to go, and they have all the same material, they have all the same facts, they have access, they can watch all the same games, and yet these experts are not in agreement of who's going to win today. It is split right down the middle. And even when you ask the guys who have played against the Buccaneers and have played against the Chiefs, all these interviews, oh, do you think this defense, do you think this offense, do you think this player, da, 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 da. All the players are split. Everyone is just split right down the middle. And it's interesting because if you think that these guys are experts, you think these guys were supposed to know everything, they would be able to compile a consistent answer and say in full agreement that this team is going to win. It's not just with the Super Bowl. It's with anything, right? We have seen over the last number of, well, for years now, we have experts who look at the same data, look at the same information, look at the same test results and everything, and yet come with radically different conclusions. Well, how can we know which expert is right and which expert is wrong? They all have the same stuff. They're all basing their opinion on the same information, and yet coming to radically different conclusions. And the reality is that when it comes to all of these voices that we follow and that we listen to and that we try to gain information from, there's nobody in the world who is completely objective. Nobody looks at the information and completely, without any bias, come to their conclusion. Everyone has a bias. You have a bias, I have a bias, we all have a bias. And it's all based on things that we can't control. It's based on your parents' biases that they influenced into you, right? Like, some of you like Pepsi and some of you like Coke, and there's really no reason for it other than mom and dad like Pepsi, and so that's why I like Pepsi. It's based on the town you were raised in. It's based on the province and the country, and your upbringing has cemented so many of your foundational beliefs. And without even realizing it, everything that we do, everything that we see, everything that we study is through a filtered lens. It is almost impossible for you to be 100% objective about anything. We have these biases that regularly influence and impact the things that we see and the things that we say. And so when we go to the experts, it's no wonder we have all of these different opinions, because all of them are reading this information through filtered lenses. The problem with these biases is that if we're not careful, we're not watching them, they can actually lead us, take our lives down paths that we don't actually want to go down. And so this morning, we're going to be in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And as we get in, as prep for this series, we're talking about many voices, we're talking about all these people who are presenting different truths. I trust these three guys that are coming. But I don't trust everyone that you may be following on social media or everyone who's on the news, or I don't trust all of them, just being honest. And Paul is going to say something really interesting to young Timothy. So Timothy, this is the second letter that Paul has written to Timothy. Timothy has been heading up the church in Ephesus for a while. He's a young guy. Paul is trying to encourage him, yet teach him and give him everything he needs to succeed as a young pastor. And 2 Timothy chapter 4 is the last chapter of this letter, and it's kind of Paul's final instructions to Timothy. But he makes a really interesting comment about the days that are to come, both for Timothy, and I would say the days that we are now entering into, that we just need to be aware of. So 2 Timothy chapter 4, this is what it says. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, by his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. And as for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. Paul says there's a time that is coming when people aren't going to listen to sound doctrine. They're not going to listen to sound teaching. They're going to go chase after teachers who are going to say the things they want to hear. And it's interesting how Paul sets up this passage. He doesn't just like, hey, I charge you. He says, I charge you in light of God the Father and Jesus Christ, who is the judge of the living and the dead. You want to talk about messages that aren't super popular? It's the reminder that each and every one of us, Christian or non-Christian, will one day stand before the living God and give an account of our lives. All of us will be judged one day. Nobody escapes judgment. Nobody escapes this moment, this day, where we stand before God and have to give an account. And it's so interesting to me that we talk about the days when we pursue teachers that want to say what we want to hear and affirm the passions that we have. One of the things that keeps coming up is that this whole idea that you can't judge me. You can't judge me. Now, I've said this before, and I'll say it again. I understand that coming from someone who is not a believer. Correct. I can't judge you. You're going to stand before God and give an account. I can't. You don't live to the same standards. You don't believe in God. You don't believe in Jesus. You don't believe in God's word. So no, I'm not going to hold you to the standard that I believe God holds me to. I'm going to extend grace and love and compassion and truth and trust that the Holy Spirit's going to draw you into the fold one day. That is my job for everyone who does not share my faith. But for everyone who does share my faith, yes, you can be judged. Because newsflash, you're still going to get judged whether I do it or not. I would way rather be judged for my actions now so that it's not a big surprise when I stand before God and have it done anyways. We are called as believers to hold each other to a higher standard, to keep each other accountable for the things that we do and the things that we say. And that's why Paul says to Timothy, you're to preach and you're to reprove, rebuke, and exhort. And what those three words mean is reprove is to teach in such a way that convicts of sin. Preach in such a way that it stirs in the heart and says, oh yeah, something's going on. I need to get right with God about this. Rebuke is just to call sin a sin, to just come right out and verbally correct somebody for the sin that they are committing. And exhort is to encourage people on to greater things. Reprove is to convict. Rebuke is to just simply call a sin and correct it verbally in the life of somebody. And exhort is to encourage somebody on to greater things. And when Paul sets that up, and then he says there's a time coming. There's a time coming when people don't want to hear about how their sin isn't right. There's a time coming when people aren't going to want to hear that their passions have to be subjected to God and rearranged to align with the passions that God has. There's a time coming where people are going to just chase after the preachers that they want to hear. And even as we are in our day today, so many pastors, so many preachers, and I would go so far to say false teachers. I'll call a spade, they're a false teacher. There are those that aren't preaching against sin. They aren't calling sin. They're just saying, oh, God's just going to forgive everything in the end. Hyper grace is what some people will call it. It's like, oh, God just says grace, 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 grace. Yeah, grace, but there's grace and there's truth. And we have to do both. We have to hold both in account. And one of the difficult balances that we have as preachers and as teachers is that we need to hold these two things in balance. We need to hold grace because we all need grace. We all need the forgiveness. We all need the assurance. We all need God to come in our lives that everything's going to be okay. We need the grace of God. No matter how long you've been doing this, no matter how new you are to Christianity, we all need God's grace, but we all need God's truth too. And it's the truth of God that convicts. It's the truth of God that presses us on to greater things. It's the truth of God. And there's so many people that just, it's not the truth of God anymore. It's not the truth as the Bible teaches it. It is amazing how many times I've watched young, promising believers who have the whole world in front of them get scooped up by by a false teacher. And it's not based on the facts. It's not based on how they, on the scripture they use. It's not based on any, it's based on emotion. It's based on how much they tug on the heartstrings. And there's no testing. There's no going back and seeing what in the world is this person saying? Is it actually biblical? Is it actually aligned with what God has taught? And Paul warns Timothy, there's going to be times when he says that you've got to be ready to preach in season and out of season. When you preach grace and truth, there's going to be times where you're the popular preacher, where everybody wants to come and hear what you're saying and be like, yeah, wee, Timothy. He says that there's going to be a time where you're preaching something that nobody wants to hear, and it's going to be crickets in the house. Woo-hoo. Is the mic working? He says there's going to be, you're going to be in season, you're going to be out of season. You're going to be popular, and you're going to be unpopular. And when this mass exodus of people happens, and even Paul talks about this in Corinthians, right? We talked about this earlier. There's going to be this separation within the church. There's going to be those that are the genuine believers who are wholehearted, chasing after the things of God. And there's going to be those that are showing up at church to just check the checkbox. Because it's the right thing to do, but it's not actually doing anything outside of Sunday. And we talked about this even last week, how there are people who are just like, there's my Sunday group, and I don't want anything to do with them outside of Sunday. That's not Christianity. That's not the faith and the relationship that Jesus has called us to. We're supposed to live this thing day in, day out, 24 hours a day, sun up, sun down, when it's easy and when it's hard, because there's going to be times. And Paul says this to Timothy. He closes it by saying, there's going to be times. Excuse me. It's not COVID, I promise. Paul tells Timothy, he's like, be sober-minded, be focused. Do not be distracted when people leave because they don't like your preaching. Don't be distracted because people leave because they think you're too hard of a preacher. You're too da-da-da. Stay focused. Stay sober-minded. Continue to do the work that you've been called to. Endure the suffering. When things change and when people leave and when things don't go the way we want, it hurts. As a pastor, it hurts our hearts. It hurts our... it hurts. And Paul says there's going to be hurts. But endure it. Endure the suffering. Continue to do the work that you've been called to. Do the ministry that I've placed you there to do. Continue to be the man that God has called you to be. And Paul calling Timothy to be the voice of truth in the midst of a day when there's going to be this increasing availability of people who weren't preaching truth and weren't preaching the convicting message and weren't preaching the rebuking message and weren't preaching these things because the people don't want to hear it. And we have moved even more into that day when there is so much readily available to listen to whoever want to listen to. We live in a day where there's somebody has said something on the internet, you can find it. It's not that hard. As long as you have the right keyword or whatever, you can find it. It's so important for us today to be on guard, to know, is what I'm listening to biblical? Is it God-honoring? And I honestly, as I was preparing, I was so, my heart was grieved for everyone who does not hold the entirety of Scripture when they're preaching. And it was a good conviction for myself even, because then I'm reminded of James's word that not many of you should claim to be teachers because you will be judged most harshly. Oh. And yet so many, I've watched so many people rush into teaching, rush into being the voice of God for a church or for a ministry or whatever, and they're not honoring the word, and they're not honoring God's mission and vision. They're changing it. But because it tickles the ear, right? Paul says this, they're going to look at for people who are going to find messages for their itching ears to just say, oh, what you're doing is okay. Oh, God will forgive you. Just, you know. Question two, have you ever sat through a teaching that you knew just wasn't quite right? You ever gone to a church or been watching something on TV or on YouTube or whatever, and it may be like someone recommended this person to you, or they're on Facebook, is like, ooh, this is the new thing to listen to, or whatever, and you go and you check it out, and you're listening, you're just like, something's not quite right about this. Something in your stomach, you're just like, ooh, I don't like that, or I honestly believe that when you become a Christian, when you give your life to Jesus and become a full-fledged disciple of him, the Holy Spirit taps you on the shoulder when you're listening to something that you're not supposed to and be like, hey, that's not right. I'm not going to tell you why. You might have to go look into it. You may have to do a little bit more research, but I'm telling you, you need to turn that off because that's not right. You need to walk away from this. You need to just stay away because it isn't right. And so the question I have for us this morning is, what are there things that we can do to protect ourselves from the false voices? Are there things we can do to stay away from false teaching? Because maybe we're listening to something and it's just like, I think that's wrong, but I'm not sure. How can we be more confident when we're listening to something? We're like, yeah, okay, yeah, that works. Or, no, it doesn't work. So there's three things I want to share with you this morning and say, okay, this is how we prepare ourselves. This is how we put the filter up. This is how we put the walls up against false teaching so that it's not changing and influencing us in a way that could be detrimental to our development spiritually. So number one, read your Bible. I say this every week, I feel like. Read your Bible. And this is the reason why. There is a practice in biblical study called hermeneutics. And that's a really big word, and it's, I'm not even going to try to spell it for you because it's got E's and U's and stuff that shouldn't be where they are. But hermeneutics is basically the premise that when you go into God's Word, you go into Scripture, there are themes, there are principles, there's a storyline that is flowing through from the beginning of Genesis to the end of Revelation. There is themes, there's a connection there that's happening. And hermeneutics is the best way for us as pastors and preachers, and for you to be aware when someone is preaching something wrong, because if what they are saying does not flow with the whole of Scripture, then it's wrong. That's easy, right? But we don't know the hermeneutics. We don't see those themes, those disciplines, when we're not reading Scripture front to back, getting the whole story. We can't be the, okay, this morning I'm going to read Psalms, perfect. We don't get the flow. We don't get the connection. We don't get, we got to get in this practice. I know it's tough, and I know there's a lot of dry stuff in the Old Testament, but we got to get in this practice of going front to back, beginning to start, because when you do that, we get the big picture. We get the what God is trying to say throughout the whole course of history. And one of the interesting things that I've found is that when there is someone who claims to be a spokesman on behalf of God, but they are teaching things that are not biblical, their hermeneutics are awful. They're just so, it's one thing to take a passage out of context, right? To just open the book and just take one verse out of the paragraph and be like, oh, this means this. And you go back and you read the paragraph, you're like, huh? That doesn't work. That's not at all what he's talking about. It's another thing to take the passage out and be like, that doesn't even line up with everything God's been trying to teach, what God's been trying to say, what God's been trying to do. We need to be in our Bibles way more. And I know I've talked about it, how if you spend 4 days of the week in God's Word, your mental capacity, your attitude, everything gets significantly better. I've talked about that before. But we need to be in God's Word so much so that we are always mindful of these themes and these principles that flow throughout all of Scripture. Number two, test everything. Fact check everything. 1 John 4 says this, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone into the world." John said this 2,000 years ago. How much more true is it today? Test everything. Even test, I think one of the things that we need to start doing, we need to start testing the guys that we like. Test me. Go back to your Word and make sure that what I said actually lines up. If I know you're going to do it, I'm going to be way more careful about what I say. But it also tells me that you are doing the work of a Christian and diving into the Word and making sure, okay, does this flow? Does this make sense? Do I understand? Am I getting the context? I challenged at the last church. We were doing Sunday evening service. That was kind of my service. And I stood up Sunday evening and I told them this. I said, you test everything I say. And if you find something that I missaid, you go right ahead and message me. I would love to have that conversation. And then after that, every single time I stood up on stage, I had one lady text me every message. Every time she found something. I was like, and there's the temptation to be like, oh, here she is again. It was either that or I was really relieved that somebody actually took me up on it. I actually enjoyed it. I actually look forward to those conversations because she, and sometimes it wasn't. Sometimes she's just messaging me like, oh, I just really like the message. But she's like, but what about this and what about that? And it was a good opportunity to have that deeper discussion. She learned, got deeper understanding. I got kind of the heart check to make sure I wasn't going rogue. But even whoever, like if you listen to podcasts, or you listen to these like really big name preachers, or you just listen to me, or listen to whoever, do the work, check, open your Bible, check the facts. We have given you, through Logos/the Faith Life Study Bible, we've given you this amazing resource. You can literally, if someone teaches a passage and you're not sure they did it right, you type it in the Logos and that will tell you if they did it right. And you could read it for hours and make sure they did it right. It's one of these great, not only is it for growing in knowledge, but it's for testing things and making sure that it's actually lining up with what God teaches. It's awesome. We need to use it more. Anyways, test everything. And this is when people, this is how, especially for younger believers, this is where they get duped because they don't test. They just get caught up in the emotion or it just makes sense in their brain and they don't take the emotion out of it and be like, okay, but I got to do the work. I got to get into the God's Word and be like, hey, does this actually line up? Because we can get duped by emotion. Let's be honest. Somebody preaches a really good, says something really heart-tugging, like, oh, I just want to believe you. It's really easy to get sucked into something, but we got to test everything. Fact check. Anyways, test everything. The third thing this morning, I encourage you to listen to different teachers. I encourage you to find pastors to listen to. One of the cool things that's going to happen over the course of this month as we have four different preachers over four different weeks is that you're going to discover how none of us have the same personality, right? We all remember Pastor Louie. Him and I are nothing alike. But Brad is different, and Darren is different, but we have, it's four different teachers having four different personalities, four different upbringings, four different approaches to God's Word, and yet each and every one of us is going to bring the truth. Each and every one of us, but we're going to do it differently. And when we listen to good, solid teachers, and we listen to lots of good, solid teachers, we start to recognize the fact that there's a difference between style difference and truth difference. And we start to recognize that there are people that have their personalities just feed into the way they preach God's Word. And their upbringing feed into the way that they approach God's Word. And they preach a different message, but it's still the truth of God. And we recognize style difference, but the more we soak it in and the more we get God's truth just overwhelming and drenching us, the more quickly we recognize when something false is coming our way too. One of my favorite analogies about recognizing truth versus what is fake is the analogy of a bank teller. When someone becomes a bank teller, and one of the things they start training them to do is recognize a counterfeit. What they don't do to help a bank teller recognize a counterfeit is put a whole bunch of fakes in front of them and figure out what's wrong. They, day in and day out, handle real money. They know it. The feel. They know how it looks. They know how it smells. They know, like, I hope they're not tasting it because that's gross. But they know, right? They know when it's a real bill, and they see them day in, day out. So then that one moment when a fake tries to come through, they pick it up. They're like, something's not right. The paper doesn't feel right. The ink doesn't feel right. It doesn't. Something is wrong with this piece of paper. This is not money. They don't learn that by handling a bunch of fakes. They learn that by dealing with the real thing day in and day out. And the reality and the truth is the same applies for us. We don't recognize fakes by experiencing fakes. We recognize fakes because we're so drenched and overwhelmed and just soaked with the real thing that when something false comes along, we're like, nope, denied, exit out of the page. Next, moving on. There's coming a day where there will be people who leave the church because they want to find people who are going to preach the easy word, preach the word that's going to tickle their ears, tickle their hearts, affirm the things that they're doing. They're going to run from sound teaching. They're going to run from... And the temptation for us, one of those biases that I talked about earlier, is our sin nature. Our sin nature wants to run from a convicting message. Our sin nature wants to run from a rebuking message, a exhorting message. Because even a message that comes along and says, hey, let's raise the bar a little bit. Let's set the standard a little bit higher. Even when we want to resist that, we're like, I like life the way it is. And we live in a day where these easy preachers and these soft messages are so readily available. And there's nothing wrong with the occasional soft message, but when it never deals with sin and never deals with rebuking and never deals with raising, that's just... We need to be ready that when these false messages come along, we are so entrenched in the truth that we're just like, nope, I reject that. I walk away from it, and I want to stay committed to sound biblical teaching. And it starts by reading our Bible. It starts by getting into the practice of testing everything. Literally, go back and test everything I said this morning. If you have questions, don't go to everyone else. Come to me. That's how rumors start. Pastor Matt said this. No, don't do that. Come to me and be like, Pastor Matt, I have a question about something you said this morning. Perfect. Let's talk about it. Read your Bible, test everything, and listen to lots of preachers. Listen to lots of different pastors in their different ways. I know there's a lot of guys that are better than me. That's fine. Go find one of them. Go listen to them. Be encouraged. Be uplifted. Be challenged and grow in the ways that one day I'll get there. Listen to lots of speakers and just overwhelm yourself with the truth of God so that when the fake stuff comes, you recognize it and run from it as quickly as possible. Question number three. Which of these three things are you going to do more of this week? So maybe reading your Bible a little bit more. Maybe it's testing things a little bit more. Maybe it's just finding another pastor to listen to. Maybe it's just got to find a new podcast that's going to challenge you and grow you in ways that maybe you haven't been tested and grown in a while. Whatever it is, pick one and commit to doing more of it this week. Everyone online, share what you are committing to do more of in the coming week. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much, God, for your word. God, I thank you for sound teaching. I thank you for, I thank you that your word is a mirror for our life, that it calls us to be being better, that every day we draw a little bit closer to you. Every day we take another step away from sin. Every day we just become more like you, Jesus. And that's really what we want. We just want to be more like you. God, we love you. We give you all our praise and thanks. Challenge us. Be with us as we go. Continue to develop that recognition of when something false is coming our way. And help us step into the great things that you have called us to. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.